Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as
Sandra Bullock in Ocean's 8. Okay, I don't care what anyone says. Sandra Bullock should have been queer. Cate Blanchett's character should have been queer. Sarah Paulson's character should have been queer. They should have all been queer together.
In a polyamorous relationship, you know what I mean? Like
a throuple. Yo,
a throuple situation.
And that's no spoiler alert, okay? Just go watch Ocean's 8 and you'll understand.
I think the world was collectively shook at the straightness. At the alleged straightness.
Yes, dude.
Yeah, I'm still shook. I haven't seen the movie even, and I want to go support it. But
by now, you've probably seen it.
Yeah, maybe by at this point, yeah. What up, Cabrona?
What's poppin', Chingona? Hey!
What's going on, what's man? You know, all dude, my recording equipment, like, gained all this dust. Sorry, what were you saying?
Your recording equipment gained dust?
Yeah, because I hadn't used it, like, since mid-May or something like that. So it's, like, so dusty.
It is, dude. It's super dusty. Dude, guess what? Guess what I bought?
What did you buy?
Dude... I've stepped into my destiny as a queer woman, and I'm here. I bought Birkenstocks.
You bought what now?
I bought Birkenstocks.
When the fuck is that? Are those chanclas?
Son chanclas, wey.
Are they? They're Jesus.
You know the
chanclas.
Ones that you see. So for those of you who don't know what Birkenstocks are, they're basically those. Sandals that your teacher wore in high school when she gave up. It's the shoe of middle-aged white women when they give up, and me.
Those are like my dad's shoes.
Your dad's shoes are probably honestly cooler looking. These, on the other hand, are so comfortable, dude. Me and my girlfriend bought not matching Birkenstocks, but different Birkenstocks. We stepped into our queer destiny, dude. I'm living my truthiest truth right now with my chanclas.
So when do you retire? Like next month or?
I've already retired. I retired yesterday. I enjoyed hot tea and.
Jesus, that's crazy. That's fantastic.
I've graduated into my my middle age, so I'm good.
Nice. I'm Benjamin Button over here, man. Like I drank from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. yesterday.
Oh my god, that's right, because what happened yesterday? This is we're in the past, guys, but what happened
yesterday?
We're in
the past. So much happened yesterday. Yesterday was a lot. I'm going to start from the fucking beginning of the day. I woke up super early because I wanted to go watch the Mexico game, of course. This was the second Mexico game where they won against South Korea, and by this point, it's not a spoiler alert, they fucking won. It was amazing.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. We won, and it was amazing, and I started out at one bar, ended up at two more, at 3 p.m., around 3, I ended up, like, saying, okay, I need to go do something.
Take a nap.
No, I should have, but no, what I did instead was go to TCL Chinese Theater in Hollywood, where I hung out with Favi and Julio Salgado and Chucha, who were in our... episodes hashtag Pantalla Inclusiva and hashtag Inclusive Screens. Super great interviews. Go listen to them. Mm-hmm. They're great. And met them in the flesh. I had already met Julio, but not Chucha. And so that was dope. And then Locatora Radio and Fabi Five and Babelito, who are Latinos Who Lunch, they interviewed the Vida creator, which is Tanya, and a lot of the cast as well.
Shout out Tanya, shout out the whole cast, shout out all the writers.
They're fantastic, and the writers, yeah, unfortunately we didn't get any writers, but it was still a really, really cool time. And I'm hoping, because Fabi Five is just the absolute coolest person, and triggered me into panic mode, low-key, but basically what happened is, like,
why
we were talking about earlier this week, about, like, he asked me to send him questions for Tanya if I had any, and I sent him one, but the way that the panel worked out, like, they just didn't have a whole lot of time, So when they opened it up for Q&A at the end, Favi was like, basically he was like, okay, I'm gonna pick on someone. Maite from Cabronas y Chingonas is here and I want her to ask her question. Yeah. Uh-huh. So yeah, I asked her a question about like navigating what the network wants versus what she wants to put in the show. She had a really, really cool answer for me and stuff like that. I don't remember it because I always black out when I do public speaking, as it this happens. So hopefully you guys get that audio and I can remember what I said. It would be great. But yeah, wow. So that happened and it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, I met Michelle Prada, who plays Emma on the show. And she is a sweetheart. I don't know if you guys caught the selfie that I shamelessly posted on the CYC Insta story.
I saw. That was amazing.
She's really, really, really nice. And then afterwards, I was so freaking lucky. I ran into Sir, who plays Eddie, and I talked to them about like non-binary representation on screen and stuff like that, which is really, really cool because they identify as non-binary and like we're slowly but surely. Awesome. They are. And I don't know, hopefully one day we can get them on the show. They seemed interested. I don't know, we'll see what happens. We talked about Cabronas y Chingonas a little bit, so mm-hmm. hopefully. And just
what did they say, what were they like? Oh my god,
just absolutely fantastic. It's I you know, I black out a lot, so I'm not sure. I just know that it was good.
Yeah. That's why you need me there, because I'm can be the interpreter. I can be like, okay, this happened, guys.
Yeah, the best part of that was the fact, you know, like Favi had introduced me during the like at the end of the panel, so when I went up to Sir, they were like, Maite, right? And I was like, because they knew my name.
You're like, that's me, boo.
Yeah, I was like fangirling like a little bitch. Yeah, it was great. I don't even tell you, but I also went the night before yesterday, which was Friday, which is forever ago at this point. I also went mm-hmm. to the One Day at a Time taping, and that was really, really cool.
I know, you told me. Oh my god, I'm I it's, am noodles and I get it.
It was really nice. I actually saw Brenda and Melina from Tamarindo podcast there too. They were there.
From where?
Tamarindo.
Oh, they were there?
Yeah, they were there too.
That's awesome.
It was cool, yeah. Small world. So it's been a little bit of a busy weekend for me. I finally had some downtime today, and good thing because we can record this. It's great.
Yes. Girl, I've been living my best 40-year-old woman life. Like, I've been hiding and healing, and it's been really good.
That's I'm good. I finally
feel, like, normal again. But, like, for a minute, it was... Y'all, there's a lot happening in the world, and I just didn't feel the need to be around people. You know, like, I've been hiding and, you know, built my own little cave and went in there to hide for a little bit, hibernate, and get away from literally everything happening.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, introverts kind of, they need their time. Like, a lot of people have been, and I don't know what's going on in the world 3 weeks from now, but, like, a lot of people have needed to take that social media break. Everybody's been sort of doing that, and self-care is super important, you know?
Yeah. No, dude. Like, I saw Won't You Be My Neighbor about Mr. Rogers. And let me tell you, dude, like, I never saw so many fucking adults fucking cry at the end of a movie, like, openly. Like, everybody was just like wiping their tears away in the movie theater as the lights came on. No one left their fucking chairs. They're all just sitting there like crying, and I was like, same bitch, same. Wow. I feel this in my soul. No, dude, like, honestly, because like the internet is so toxic right now, the real world is so toxic right now, it feels overwhelming. So it was good to get away and be in a room with a bunch of people that were open to feeling and open to having some kind of compassion for each other. Whereas I feel the rest of the world just completely forgot what that means. And not the rest of the world. I mainly mean the government.
Yeah. Mainly.
All shade to the government.
All shade. All tea, all shade, all pink lemonade.
All pink lemonade. Yeah.
Yeah, so it really sucks. It does.
And, you know, if everyone needs a break sometime, and honestly, it's the end of Pride. This is going to come out afterwards, but, like, it's really been healing to just get away and focus on, like, my own mental health and the things that I need and the things that, you know, the things that are helping me get through. Like, I've been watching Pose lately, and it comes out on Sundays, guys, on FX at 8 to 9 p.m. around that time. Y'all should be watching it. Have you been watching anything to help you kind of get through life?
You know, I went through a tough time, but, like, I guess pretty early, like, before, you know, before I even went to Texas. So, I don't know. It's like, I guess I got, like, my time to heal, you know what I mean? Like, I kind of went through it already. So with this other stuff, mm-hmm. I've been very, like, head on. I've been very, like, I don't know. I've been able to deal with it a lot better. I know I'm very lucky to be able to say that. I've been able to just, like, put my feet to the ground and do my shit, you know what I mean, like, and keep it together. Mm-hmm. And I've been very fortunate that way and to still be out and about and stuff like that. But I will say that one thing, because I've been struggling with, like, image issues for the entirety of my life, you know, but mm-hmm. It's been really cool this summer to start to watch Dietland, which touches mm-hmm. upon, like, a lot of that, like, issues with yourself and what you look like and your relationship with food and with other people and how they look at you. And it's that show is currently, hopefully, I think it's still currently airing. I don't know, it might be near the end, but go on AMC. They had a bunch of the episodes available to watch, and it's so good. And the book was really good for me to read. Like, it was very cathartic. I think a lot of the healing that character goes through, I haven't been able to get to yet. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a few more episodes left in the season, so, and there's plenty of them already out, so go check that out. It's really, really good. Like, it's funny, there's a lot of activism in it, and there's, you know, mm-hmm. it's just great. So go check out Dietland. A lot of the episodes are available to watch online, so check it out.
Yeah, guys, make sure you're protecting yourself and your own spirit right now. It's really rough, to the point where me and Mike are talking about our own, like, anxiety and depression, and I've been going through it, and I'm still going through it, but I think, like, all of us can collectively be like, well, I'm going through it, but I'm also, like, / living my best life. So it's kind of like a 50-50, like, everything sucks and also I'm living my best life, right? So that's where I am,
for sure.
Yeah,
which, speaking of everything sucks, if all goes well, our latest Patreon episode, which was probably last week, we covered Everything Sucks on Netflix, so go check it out. One thing I will mention is that by now, and if not, then I'll cut this out, but by now, De Colores Radio will have already released their episode that we were featured on. So go check out De Colores Radio and the episode that they're kicking off Pride with, or their Pride event with, and check out their Pride events that they're going to have, like an art show. We'll link all that on the website and share it on social media at CYC Podcast. So definitely check that out, especially if you're local to Dallas.
Yes, come check it out. I'll be there. You'll get to meet De Colores, of course, and, you know, we'll be out there, and it's healing, guys. Everything's healing. It's going to get better. It's going to get beautiful. And, you know, fuck binaries, fuck borders.
all that stuff.
Forever. Yeah.
Abolish ICE, please.
So this stuff, what are we getting into today, though?
Today, I'm going to talk about a new novela on the block called Mi Familia Perfecta. What about you?
It's so good, y'all. It's so good. What is that face? You're like,
No, because I said, what about you? And then you didn't answer. So I was like,
oh, my bad. Did she hear
me? Yeah, you didn't hear me. I was like, oh, did she get me or not? Sorry, long distance recording is hard, guys.
Yes, long distance recording is difficult, but we got this. No, I am going to cover a newer movie that's come out. It should be out by maybe a month and a half by now. It's called Hearts Beat Loud, and it's adorable, and we need to probably all watch that movie and heal too.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. Everybody go watch this movie. I know this episode is probably out after it's been out for a little while. Hopefully it's still in theater. Go search it up, check it out. If not, then support it on DVD once it's out. All right, yeah, let's freaking get into it. I want to hear about this movie because I haven't seen it, and I have it on my calendar to watch it, and then I keep getting too busy. So I need you to convince me.
Cool beans. Okay, so Hearts Beat Loud just came out this year. It's in movie theaters, hopefully still. It has really, really... How can I explain this movie? It's one of those movies that you need to watch right now because of how heavy the world is and how light this movie is in relation. You know, sure, there are things in it that are seem unrealistic, but it's adorable. It's has Nick Offerman in it. You know, Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec.
Oh, I know.
It has, yeah, oh, girl, yes. It has Kiersey Clemons, who we talked about
recently.
Recently.
She started on Dope. Yeah. It's the episode is A Year on My Block, I believe.
A Year on My Block.
Yeah.
And it also has Sasha Lane. I don't know if you guys ever watched American Honey. She was the lead in that. And we also have Toni Collette in this. Like, there's a lot of, like, well-known actors and actresses in this film. And it's so well done. And I can't... Oh, okay, so... Plot-wise, it's about a father and a daughter who are kind of going through a transitionary phase in both of their lives. The daughter is moving to California for college. It's the summer right before. And her father is recently having to close his record shop, his vinyl shop in Red Hook, Brooklyn. and I think the best part of this film is that it's not necessarily a love story, but it's more of a coming of age story about the father and the daughter. They recently lost, Kiersey Clemons' character, Sam, and Frank, Nick Offerman's character, lost their mother, well.
And wife.
Homegirl lost her mom. Homeboy lost his wife. and like 10 years ago, and they haven't really dealt with the trauma of it, or they haven't necessarily, you know, it's about loss and transitions, and they haven't dealt with it. And they dare to bring up the concept that, you know, maybe we'll have a healthy relationship and talk to each other, which, what the fuck? A father and a daughter having a healthy relationship? Right? Right? They're super adorable in this. Like, I think everyone wants a dad like Nick Offerman, because this guy's character, he's, like, emotionally available for his daughter. Concept. he's, like... The cool thing that unifies them is their music, and this is what they do together. So apparently they have, like, scheduled jam sessions together. So Nick Offerman's character would come to his daughter and be like, it's time for us to play music. And they actually make very good music together, and it's... Shout out to the music in this, okay, y'all? Because, like, I was jamming it outside the movie theater when I was going home, because this shit is a bop. All these songs are bops. Kiersey Clemons, I didn't know you could sing, girl. She can really sing. She can hold a tune. It's beautiful.
For sure. I want to listen to that soundtrack.
It's a really good soundtrack. I didn't think she really could be out here like this. And the movie really kind of focuses on their music that they make together as a father and daughter. And the reason why we're talking about it and the reasons on this podcast is because it is very, very casually and very beautifully, uniquely queer. It's great. There's...
Well, I was going to add that it also it's like has a POC lead and a POC love interest. Like, hell yeah.
That's such a big deal. And it's so rare. Well, I wouldn't necessarily say she's like completely the lead. It kind of focuses a lot on Nick Offerman's character. It's kind of like they're both like leads, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I felt like but they she's focused like a lot on the dad. Two leads, though, right?
Correct. Yes. And they do talk about her relationship. A very cute thing that they do, and I really like how they treat queerness in this movie, because like it's so casual. It's so like nonchalant. Nick Offerman is a great father. Like, there's a scene where he's talking to his daughter and he's like, oh, who are you writing these love songs about? A girlfriend? And then she gets embarrassed and he's like, a boyfriend? You know, like he's like, I don't know. Which one is it? And there was no judgment coming from him when he said either of them. And I was like, this is really beautiful.
That sounds dope.
I liked it. It's very dope. And so I guess like the best part of it is that they're just showing two girls fall in love, and it didn't feel like the queerness was put on. It didn't feel like there even was a discussion about her being queer at all. Like, it wasn't about her coming out. It wasn't about her struggle to identify. No, it was just like her like falling in love with someone who for a summer, you know, and it was very cute. But that's not even the center of the story. It's, like, one of, like, the B plots in the movie. Like, the main plot is her and her dad trying to move on from this part of their lives.
That's really, really cute. That's actually, it like sort of reminds me of Blockers. Did you ever watch that?
No, I heard it was so good.
It was, and they have something similar going on there where it's like a father-daughter relationship that, you know, has a completely different kind of struggle, but definitely like it was strained as well. And it is kind of more so related to coming out, but it's also like, wow, like I wish I had this dad, you know what I mean? Like, this dude was so supportive of his daughter. I like that. It's very like healing, like we've been kind of talking about lately. And it was such a sweet story, and it was very, very cute. So Blockers is another one that you could maybe watch, like that's kind of like that, even though they're not the focus or the main focus, or like one of three focuses, you know. But I love that. I love that whole thing of like dads or a parent in general being like, this is fucking 2018, let's do this shit, you know.
Oh my god, and let me tell you, okay, side note, I didn't know Nick Offerman was like hot. Like, he's fine. Like, like, did you never watch Parks and like Rec? I mean, I did, but like his mustache was too manly for me. I don't know what it was. He had like a beard this time, and like it connected, and like he was wearing like tight shirts, girl, and I was like, this man is buff. Like,
oh wow.
I didn't know it, girl. I was like, ooh, Nick Offerman is fine. Like, who's that? He's zaddy. Like, I was like, okay. He's out here. Goals as fuck, man. Buff his chest muscles. They developed. Look, I'm gay, but that man's, wow. Clap, clap.
I've been a fan of his wife for a long time, Megan Mullally.
She's amazing, dude. I think she's
so funny. So when I found out that they were, like, together and, like, a couple, I was like, yes.
This is correct. They deserve, they're so beautiful together. It's insane. Like, they're two gorgeous people. Just
this is a straightness I can get behind.
Yes, like straight couples that look like that and are queer allies, I'm into it.
For sure.
And I mean this movie isn't necessarily like plot driven. It's more about the emotional attachments you have to the characters. So I don't feel like I necessarily spoil anything, because everyone's going to have their own reaction to this kind of movie, because it's just a feel-good movie, you know? Like, you had a shitty day at work, and you just want to watch something to kind of, like, remind you about the goodness in life and how change is good, and not all change has to do, you know, with the world. Sometimes it's just, like, an internal change, an internal struggle you have to go through, and I feel like a lot of people can relate to that right now with the way the world is, and sometimes you just need to, like, kind of, like, escape for an hour and a half and watch something that's not going to depress you. Something that's going to give you a little bit more hope in, like, the world and, you know, relationships between your family. Hopefully you look at them differently and, you know, you get past your bullshit. And everyone was so exceptional. Such good characters. The story is internal. Get your feelings ready. Like, if you don't have feelings, don't watch this movie. Or I don't know what's wrong, you know, like...
I don't have feelings, but usually TV and film brings it out. Mm-hmm. So it's I'm definitely gonna watch this, if I'm being
honest. Is that when you allow yourself to feel, might though?
It's when, like, I don't you know, I don't know what it is, man. It's just like it accesses a different part of my brain. I don't know.
I think you just allow yourself to feel. Yes. I think you feel all the time, and I think that's when you give yourself that, like, I'm gonna let myself feel today. That's cute.
It's just easier to feel for, like, something on screen than real life. You know what I mean? It's real life is just really tough. Like, this is kind of gonna... This is inadvertently the theme of this episode. Like, life is hard. Like,
yes. But also, we're living our best life. Side by
side. Yeah, but, like, keep freaking prospering, man. Like, there's... I don't know. There's so much good shit that gets, like... It's like the light that gets put out by all this darkness, but... It's still there.
And we got to remember the light. And that's what I think, you know, we're focusing on. And I want to give this movie 4.5, you know, like 4 pan dulces. Just because I like movies that are a little bit more edgy, but like 4 pan dulces, you know, like it was really good. It was really healthy. And I listened to the album the whole time afterwards. And shout out to my girlfriend, who is the one who got me to watch this, or else I wouldn't have watched it. Legit, really? I wouldn't watch this. Yeah, I she's the one that was excited about this, and I was like, eh, whatever. You know, like, I was in my, like, you know, depressed, anxious, I don't even want to leave my house kind of mood. And she was like, nope, we're going to watch this.
And I remember hearing about the movie, and I was just like, I texted you, and I was like, dude, you should cover this movie.
Yeah. No, I had heard about it, like, a minute ago, but she was the one that was like, we're going to watch it. And I was like, okay.
Good, because then we can do this episode.
facts B. But yeah, so yes, go watch it. I'm fully endorsing this film for your joy and happiness and for your sanity, so go do it.
We'll try to, like, link any, like, sort of whatever it is that's happening with the movie. I don't know if it's still out or not. If it is, I'm gonna let y'all know.
Yeah. And so what are you gonna, let's talk about your novella. Like, I watched this and I fucking love this.
Yes. Oh my god. So this is also, I guess, very family related. This show is literally called Mi Familia Perfecta, which if you don't speak Spanish, you could probably figure it out. My perfect family. it's like, okay, literally, like, I didn't know what to expect from this. Like, it was apparently a show, according to the, you know, like, what I'd read about it, a show based in Houston, freaking Texas. But it's a novella completely in Spanish, and it's,
well,
but
there's some, like, English slang.
Yeah, it's like, but for the, like, you know, most of it is in Spanish, which was crazy. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know what to expect from it. I was like, what is it like, since when are novellas even set in the U.S.? Like, I didn't even know. I'm really out of touch. But yeah. Okay, this is what you find out in, like, literally the first 10 minutes of watching this show. Like, it's a lot. And it's very current, by the way. It's, like, started in 2018. So, like, in the first 10 minutes, there's, like, sexism, right? Like, the very first, like, one of the main characters is Marisol. And we basically we find out that she has, like, this super, like, passion for soccer. And, like, that's her life. But people keep telling her, like, no, you can't fucking play soccer. Like, nothing's gonna come of it. Like, women's soccer doesn't fucking matter and all this other bullshit. And I was very, very, very fucking offended, because right now the World Cup is going on, and I'm real, real, real mad about that. So I was like,
real
mad. And yeah, so that's one of the things. And then another thing that shows up in the first 10 minutes, immigration. So this family is, like, they're suffering. Yeah. They're suffering because their mom was deported. And, like, the older son, who has kind of taken the head of the household, he's, like, haunted by his undocumented status. And he's, like, afraid that something's going to happen. And he's also haunted by how his, like, abusive father, like, you know, had, like, hurt him. And basically led to him not being able to play soccer. So there's a little bit of layers there. So there's a lot of soccer in this, by the way. So if you're, like,
it's about soccer,
World Cupping it up, this is a good show to watch. Yeah. And then also there's alcoholism. So that same brother that is undocumented, his girlfriend and mother of his child, she's, like, an alcoholic and an addict, and she's, like, super toxic, and all this stuff, and she's going through it, you know what I mean? And then she is, like, I guess in the show, it's kind of weird the way they do it, like, she's supposed to be white, but she speaks Spanish.
Yeah,
and then, like, when she speaks English, like, it's pretty clear that it's not, like, her first language, but but it's cool, like, whatever, they play it off. They have a lot of white Latinos in this playing, you know, supposedly white people, but they speak Spanish. Yeah. So there's that.
I like that. I really like that.
I didn't mind it. There's also domestic abuse. It's like, one of the scenes is, like, this man, like, threatening his wife and his child's life, and then, like, the police comes in to save him, and the police officer ends up being a part of the storyline. She's a woman. And then whiteness is brought up too, like, the or in colorism, really, then, like, Americanization, I don't know, but one of the younger siblings calls out the oldest sister of the, there's a lot of siblings. So the youngest sister calls out the oldest sister for trying to appeal to men by, like, having blonde hair and putting on blue contacts, and she is clearly dealing with some internalized racism, obviously. So that's part of the storyline. They don't ignore it. Like, immediately you're like, she gets called out, so that's cool. And they also have like an imperfect mother in this series, like the mother that gets deported, like she's not like this perfect saint woman that they kind of have in a lot of TV shows and movies when it comes to moms. And of course we see our moms in that light, so it makes sense why that happens a lot. But in this one, it's like this person is flawed, as most humans are. So yeah, and she's like hiding a huge secret. Of course she is, because it's a fucking novella.
It's a novella.
Yeah, I like how realistic secrets. The mom is. I think it's really cool. This whole family is, you know, working class. They don't have that much money. They're struggling a lot just to get by, you know what I mean? It reminds me a lot of Shameless in that way, in how they struggle and how they have to be really, like everyone, even the younger siblings, are all doing their part to try and pay bills and stuff like that. But someone's always in their way.
They're hustling out here.
Yeah, they're going hard, man. So, like, yeah, and then like opposite them there's this other family who are there, and they're Puerto Rican. That's another thing that was super cool. It was like, and everybody wasn't Mexican, right? Like there's a Puerto Rican family and there's a Mexican family, and they have very like different like ways of speaking and stuff like that. And
I was just like, everything. Yes.
And they had a South American like I think he's an Argentinian, Chile, I don't coach. Know one of those white South American countries that the coach is from. But yeah,
Colombia, wasn't it Colombia?
Maybe I think it might have been Chile, but Chile. The point is that like it's like they separate that, right? Like there's a South American one, there's a Puerto Rican, like they separate these types.
They're
of
not
Latinos
centering Mexicans or Mexico for
well
once.
They are, like the main family is Mexican, yeah, but they very like they allowed the Mexicans to have an accent that somebody from Mexico would have, and the Puerto Ricans to have Puerto Rican accents, and so on and so on. And I'm like, okay, that's legit. Like, you're trying. Like, all of you are really light complected, but you're trying.
The Puerto Rican family wasn't. Shout out. Well, only one.
Yeah, the daughter in the Puerto Rican and the son in the Puerto Rican family, they are not super light skinned, which I'll talk about in just a bit for sure, because that becomes a really big reason for why I even watched this show.
And I like how they mixed everything, because that's a super American thing, is that like all of these cultures coincide and exist at the same time in America. And the fact and that they actually did that, what, they interact and they best friends and shit. Okay, word,
it's dope. Yeah, I like the way they did that a lot. I really appreciated it. So yeah, despite like the very, you know, chaotic and like Shameless feel with this very large family, like they, like, you know, like I said at the beginning, like they don't want to support this like soccer dream that the main character kind of has, Marisol, but they still support her, you know what I mean? Like, and that's a big thing with families, like, oh, I don't like this shit, but you know what, I'm gonna make sure that you have cleats to wear, and I'm gonna like make sure I'm at your tryouts, you know what I mean? It's like kind of a thing, and I really enjoyed that. It reminded me a lot of kind of how One Day at a Time centered Elena's storyline. Like that was the overarching thing. They're leading up to this quinceañera, and yep. And then this is kind of like everything is all about like her playing soccer, and then everything else kind of around it, which is really cool. So yeah, let's really get into it now. So I started, and this is gonna be mostly spoiler free, so you're safe. I started watching this for the reason that I start watching everything that I watch, like something or someone. Yeah, okay, all right.
same.
Yeah, so like something or someone in the plot like is impactful in a positive way to the queer POC community. In this case, I think it's both. And yeah, so GLAAD, the organization, and anybody with eyes, they can see that like novelas in general, especially in Latin America, are struggling to have good representation on screen. Like they've put out reports where it's ridiculously bad. So this was really cool to see, and I thought it was really important to highlight for that reason, that they actually have a non-white, semi-main character, like really recurring character, like us in pretty much every single episode, and they have her fall in love with a girl. Like
yes!
What the fucking shit? Like, this girl is a Puerto Rican badass, and Yeah, and she's super sweet and has a storyline outside of that. That's not the only thing in her life.
Nope. She got a lot of other things happening.
A lot of other things happening. So I was just like, I don't know. I didn't, if I'm being honest, I didn't want to spoil it for myself before I watched it. So I didn't know who was going to be queer in the show at all.
It was
So
what, right?
I was thrown off. I thought it was going to be Marisol.
Yeah, me too.
I was like convinced it was going to be her. And honestly, I still kind of think that it should have been, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Instead they kind of give Marisol this weird walk the line of appropriateness relationship.
Yeah,
I
but they
won't
don't
get into
show it
that
on
too much.
screen, which I find really smart for the show, for a series. They don't show it, which is pretty cool.
They don't show
I'm talking
what?
about
What do you
Marisol.
mean?
I'm talking about Marisol, not about her best friend.
Don't they show it?
I thought they didn't. I thought they made a point not to show it till she was 18 or graduated or something.
Oh, until she
Marisol.
was 18. Yeah, with Marisol, they that's why I'm saying it kind of walks the line. That relationship sort of walks the line, and in my opinion. But yeah, that's not exactly what ended up happening. I still really enjoy it though, and I think that very specifically, despite maybe of course the show is not perfect, and neither is this family. Mi Familia Perfecta is not perfect,
Yeah.
but the audience that this is aimed at, which is just anybody that watches novelas, that audience will be impacted very heavily by what this show is doing, even though it's very low key and it's very pan away from certain awkward
Queer
things
things,
or
queer things.
certain queer things, pan down from that.
For the abuelas.
But it's still it's there, and it's very you can't avoid it. It's on, and they have all these tough conversations, and it's so important for that kind of audience to watch. And yeah, and I think that anybody with a semi-traditional or whatever, first generation, second generation, Americans or whatever, you can watch this with your family, with your parents, and be like, hey, check this out. Let me casually slip this novela in your radar. It's on Telemundo, and the episodes are all available for streaming. Binge watch that shit.
You know
It's
what I
just.
liked the most about it was that outside of the queer character, everyone on the show mostly is very woke, and they make a point of talking about that all the time, going what century are you living in? The only shame on here is the shame against the homophobe, which I was like, what on a novella?
Yeah, oh yeah, they address homophobia head on. They address and not just between the little people, but also public image and stuff like that. It gets a little lectury, but it's a novela, so you kind of expect that. It's very
There,
dialogue heavy.
there's people yelling at each other and yanking hair and shit. So yeah, this is not that bad in comparison. But no, dude, I love the writing on there that they're really doing something really interesting and experimental in a novela kind of setting, which I haven't seen before. What? Everyone is woke, and well, most the people I like are woke. Even the people I don't like are woke. I'm like, bitch, I don't even like you as a character, but you out here being not problematic.
Yeah, they call out racism a lot too. There's a big part of it, especially at the beginning, where it's like this these people are being super racist, and I don't know. I like that they took the time to portray that, you know what I mean? Because I mean, whiteness is never addressed in these novelas. It's addressed here to an
Yeah.
extent. Obviously,
And they're
everything
also
could.
talking about a lot of American issues on this. This is such a current American immigrant kind of story. It's not just, about Mexico and immigration, and it's about Central America, South America, being Latino in the United States and having being Latinx in the United States and having all of these other very American issues about it. And I was just like, what the fuck? We ain't just trying to marry the rich, dude, and own all the tequila, whatever the tequila factory or tequila farm or whatever the fuck, el rancho,
Farm, yeah.
you're not trying to just own the tequila, el rancho de tequila, todo eso. You're really they're talking about struggling in the United States about being an immigrant, and I was like, word, this is so fucking cool, and totally watch this with your abuela. There's nothing on there that you're gonna, no one's being racy.
Yeah, it's totally, you can totally watch it
It's
with
PG,
your fam.
Yeah.
Right. It's Telemundo. But yeah, it was really refreshing. It was like this shit that honestly should have been done by the U.S. You know what I mean? Like, was like Mexico was like, fuck you, I'm gonna do it. And then like did that damn thing. Like, I don't know. I guess I haven't really been in touch with the novela scene. But like the fact that they made it here and about the issues here, like that's super, super cool.
And another thing I found interesting was kind of like the development of this novela in versus like developments of, I was talking to my girlfriend about Rosa de Guadalupe and in some of the older, right? When some of the older episodes, I remember watching Rosa de Guadalupe where they were showing queer people in a very negative light. And I'm talking about 2-3 years ago. And now she said she recently saw an episode with her mom and it was all about positivity and how, you know, we got to accept queer people into our lives and it's all about love and all this shit. And I was like, wait, whoa, are novelas like, are Latinos, you know, are Latinx people changing in the novela scene? Like, I haven't been keeping up either, girl, but it's, I feel like there's something happening now where like, maybe we're all coming together a little bit. Maybe we're all kind of on the consensus that being queer is not the worst thing you can be. I hear boo. The worst thing you can be is a bigot, and it ain't queer no more, and it's lovely. I like it.
I like it too. Yeah, Rosa de Guadalupe is like known for shaming people with the Bible and stuff. So, yeah. That's great that they're moving on. I might have to like check out those episodes and do a little more research, because that's fantastic.
It is. It's happening. Está cambiando. Something's changing out here. To be all vita, you know. I'm gonna throw in a Spanglish word every now and then. Did anybody ask a question about their Spanglish? I want to know.
No. We talked about, or they asked a question about accents, or like people, like Puerto Ricans play Mexicans and vice versa and stuff like that. They asked about that, where it was just like, you know, and how authentic and or inauthentic can be. Yeah. But no, we didn't get into it, though. It was a big topic of conversation with a lot of people that I spoke to after the panel. Mm-hmm. I met a few people like in and around the industry that were kind of talking about doing better. And I don't know, I had a theory that I sort of pitched, and I was just like, for me personally, when it comes to my Spanglish, it's typically nouns that I say in Spanish or in English depending on what I'm speaking. Mm-hmm. And it's usually because, like, I can't think of the word in the other language. And I'm like, oh, the colcha, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, not the duvet, but the fucking colcha.
Yeah, the colcha. That makes sense, yeah.
Right, so and it's harder on TV if you don't want to subtitle or repeat yourself. You can't really do nouns as much because otherwise people that don't speak Spanish are going to be left out, which some people care, some people don't, I don't know. But that's where my theory is like, they're trying to only change the words that don't need translation necessarily to understand that sentence. That's my working theory. Gotcha. I just think it needs more practice, and yeah.
I agree. Because, yeah, me same. I like the sala, you know, I don't know, living room. Right. It takes me a minute to like, what word is that in English?
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's like I think that's at least a part of it, where it's like there's certain words that you can say in Spanish in a sentence without losing the people that don't speak that language. So
True. We'll talk about that on a different episode, but we got off topic there. So back to Mi Familia Perfecta. I'm so sorry for that side note there. I just really wanted to know that. What did you think about their use of like English and Spanish in Mi Familia Perfecta? To kind of go back to
it's just so interesting. It's so mm-hmm. interesting because like they have, like I said, like they have families that are meant to be English speaking like white families, and they're all speaking Spanish, and then every now and then they bust into some English
it's super guau
and stuff like that. But yeah, this is, I like the way that they do that, because if you think about it, like all the time you see shows where they primarily speak English, and when they go and turn to speaking Spanish, it's super fucking broken. So I think it's only fair that they get to have mostly Spanish speakers with broken English. Like,
fuck yes.
If it works the other way around, why can't it work this way?
Yes. It's their, like, what is this? Is this reparations, America? English speakers, this is reparations for getting Rosario Dawson to speak Spanish when you know she ain't got that accent all together there. Ain't nothing wrong with her accent, but we know it ain't that perfect. Okay? This is reparations.
Yeah, it's just, it would be a double standard if they weren't able to do it. So it's totally cool with me. And honestly, like, it's funny to me. So
it's hilarious. I fucking love that about this show. But yeah, so how many cafecitos would you give it? Because there's a lot happening.
There's a lot, man. I would probably say like a half a cafecito, like, per episode. They're full length episodes, like 45 minutes or something like that. But I blew through the first four episodes, and there wasn't even anything that I in particular would have liked to see. And there was nothing like that in the first few episodes, and I was still really into it. And it's a super woke show, and it's a novela, like, so there's a ton of it, and you can watch it like every single day if you want to. It's, yeah, so I definitely recommend it. I definitely recommend what it's doing for our communities, and I hope that it continues to center like women and all these topics, and Afro-Latinas would be great.
Oh, you know, yes, as always, get some Afro-Latinas in there, because we know they actually set in Florida. I think that shit is actually Miami or Fort Lauderdale or something. Yeah, it's Florida instead of, so there's, it's supposed to be set in Houston, but it's really shot in Florida. So they need some Afro-Latinas in there. They fuck up. Oh, interesting.
I wonder how they don't sweat all the time. But, you know, Houston is, like, Houston's super freaking hot and humid, too. So I guess it's, like,
yeah, it's the same shit. It's kind of the same climate. And they also have palm trees down there, too. So it's kind of the same. Just one's in Texas, one's in Florida. We got the same fucked up laws.
Yes. But, yeah, dude.
So, yeah, guys, go watch me, Familia Perfecta and Hearts Beat Loud. They're out. It's the end of Pride for us because we're in the past. And we have some Patreon supporters to shout out.
Yes, oh my god, Patreon donors, you guys are my life.
We love y'all.
So Erica Jackie is a new supporter, a new the level of supporter that they can have access to a bunch of different episodes that we've released exclusively on Patreon.
Yes.
Like I said earlier,
we love you, Erica. Most recent
one is about, yes, thank you so much for supporting. You're the best. Yeah, we've got like a bunch of really cool shit up, but we also got another Patreon supporter who is the dopest guy ever. The dopest.
Aaron, we love you. Thank you so much for donating at the Arcoides level. That means he has access to even decide an episode for us. We love you. We stan you. You're my favorite person at work. and yeah, he's going to be picking one of the episodes coming up. So get ready for it.
For sure. I don't know what you just said at all, but I'm going to assume it was something good.
It was all positive things.
Okay, cool. Yeah, thank you so much, Aaron. If you haven't already, go ahead and listen to our episode called True Lunas, which he guest starred in, and he'll probably be in a future episode. And a future episode will be thanks to him, because if you're on the Arcoides level, you get to choose a topic for us to cover on a regular episode. So
yes,
keep that in mind.
And we'd also like to give a shout out to our other Arcoides level person. Love you, bae. Thank you so much for being you. And who else do we have next? Who else is next, Maite?
And our supporters that have been around like almost from the beginning, you guys are the freaking best.
Triple OGs.
I'll say that. Yes, I'll go ahead and shout out my two that are on the cafecito level, which is Noel from Hylon Life podcast, which if you're not listening to it, what are you doing? Noel is the best. We get to chat about all kinds of really cool TV all the time. And Alicia from Australia, who's just the coolest person ever. And yeah, thank you so much for supporting, guys.
Y'all are the shit.
Can't always looking forward to speaking with you guys and hearing what you guys think. So thank you.
Yes, and I want to shout out my triple OGs. What up, Marimar? You're the best. I see you down there in South Texas. You're fucking the system up. Keep doing you, girl. Keep being amazing, because we see you. And Raciel, literally, I really can't get over his colors. They're just amazing. Like, he went purple this time, and I was like, this is such a good color. It was like a lilac, lavender. I don't know. It was beautiful. Purple's my favorite color. So, Raciel, you're the shit. Go check out his Instagram, y'all. It's beautiful. His colors. I'm sorry. It's just amazing.
For yeah. sure. Raziel is the best also.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And what do we have any announcements coming up or anything you want to talk about?
I just want to remind everyone to check out like your local art events covering, you know, pride stuff such as the Colores Pride event. I mean, definitely go check that stuff out. Let's see. Yeah, what will I be doing at this point in my life? I will hopefully have moved into my new place.
Yes.
Hopefully, we'll see how what happens in my life. If not, then I'm just probably still chilling just the same. I'm probably gonna be like deep in my writing if I manage to have that self-control at this time.
You got this.
Yeah, hopefully. Next week, guys, you will most likely have an episode about, do I want to say what it is? Do you want to leave it? I want to leave it a surprise. Never mind.
Yeah.
Hopefully you guys like next week's episode. Next week's episode is going to be something that we recorded when I was back in Texas. So it's going to be a little bit of a throwback, but it'll be a live recorded episode where it was both of us in the same room. So that'll be fun.
Yes, it will. And I guess I just want to remind you guys that like everything's heavy right now, but it doesn't have to be. And go do something for you. Go light a candle, you know, go light a scented candle. I don't know. Go walk your dogs and buy Birkenstocks and, you know, live your truthiest truth out here. And thank you to everyone that listens. You guys are the shit. You guys are the reason we continue to do this. And it's really reaffirming during Pride Month to just kind of remember that and remember about creating safe queer spaces and belonging to that community and belonging to all types of communities. So just thanks so much, guys.
Yes, thank you so much. And like especially to our reviewers who are doing the Lesbian Jesus's work by reviewing us, because the more reviews we get, like Latinos Who Lunch say, like the more that people get to see us and find us, and the more that we get to share our stories and our thoughts and highlight media to more people who maybe wouldn't know of it otherwise.
Yeah, we do all the hard work. Super, we do all the research. What's up?
Super side shout out. I met over at the La Leaf, which was now 3 weeks ago, but I met a couple of our listeners. Shout out to Karen from the Bronx With Love podcast.
Oh my god, yes! She's
so cool.
Yes, you gotta meet her. That's the shit.
Yeah, such a cool chick. And I also met just like a new listener at La Leaf. You know who you are. You live here in LA, and we talked in line and stuff, and you're really super cool. And hopefully we hang out sometime.
Yes. Oh, it's so important, guys. Leave reviews and tell us what we need to fix on the low. You know, if you see something constructive, we're down for constructive criticism. I encourage it. So you can send it to me if you want. You can just DM my ass, and I love constructive criticism. If y'all have something that is helpful, I'm here.
Yeah, if you guys can DM either of constructive criticism is always welcome.
Yes.
And because nobody's perfect, and yeah, so it's cycpodcastmail@gmail.com. If you want to make it a little less personal, yeah, then that's completely understandable. And we're at cycpodcast on Twitter and on Instagram. And we're on facebook.com/CYC pod. You can always message us on there, and you can always review us, yes, on there as well.
If send us recommendations. Do anything you guys want. We're here.
Right. Definitely.
We don't bite, you know, open ears. Unless you're into open that. Ears, open minds. And that's all Maitha.
No. Look at you. No.
Consensual biting is very different from force, girl. It's
no empieces. Okay.
But yeah, thanks so much, you guys. And yeah, you can follow us on Maitha.
You can follow my personal Twitter at MYTEPanda. I'm pretty damn active on there.
Yes.
And what about you?
Yeah, and I'm at Fried Papita on Twitter. And I'm basically doing like self-care all the fuck all over my Twitter. So if you guys just want like easy listening, you know, I'm like the jazz of like the radio stations on Twitter. So just like follow me if you just want like smooth jazz and dogs and cats and cute videos and music. I'm here.
And we'll do our best to keep updating you guys on the new media that's doing important things and general like pop culture stuff on our regular CYC podcast Twitter and Instagram. Yes. We try our best to be entertaining. I think we do okay. I don't know. Let us know.
We try. But yeah, so thanks so much, guys. All right,
guys. Thank you for listening once again. See you next week.
Bye.